Project Independence is the aging in place initiative of the town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host is still...
It's still me, John.
And we had a wonderful, wonderful conversation with Danielle Ezzo. And Danielle, as I said, is an associate clinical professor at St. John's, will be at the conference. And the important thing is it's such a confusing subject. That once a year, if you make the wrong choice, you are in trouble for a year, and it can cost somebody thousands of dollars.
Without a doubt.
Nowadays, depending on the drug you need, and we talked about it just briefly, I'm on one drug, it's $12,000 a month. So wow. If you had to do that for a year, for a senior, I'd put you, you know.
In the poorhouse.
100%.
That's cash.
And that's just planning. Okay, and now we have Ronald Fatula coming on, who is an elder law attorney, and the same thing. We're going to just have a conversation because this is planning. People make mistakes, or actually, don't even make mistakes. They don't plan. Just what I was saying. You have to go to this between this sign up period through December 7th. With Ronald, you don't have a sign-up period. Every day could be a sign-up period, but you have to take care of it. Yeah. Good morning and welcome,
maybe,
and thank you for
coming. Maybe that's a problem, that there is not a sign-up period,
well, you know,
because
you know
you're procrastinating.
That is the problem, because you don't have no deadline, and people tend not to plan.
And
so
once
it tends to be an issue.
Dead,
one thing my partner and I say all the time, no choice is a choice. And it's so true. You put it off to tomorrow, you put it off next thing, you fall down the stairs, you're in a hospital, then to a home, and... $100,000 goes out the window.
If you're lucky.
Right.
Yeah, it could be much, much more.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. So, by the way, I have to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
This is a festive day for you. This is wonderful.
Oh, this is Christina, wherever she is. Oh, she can't hear.
Jack Benny says 39 years old, right?
Right.
That's it.
This being radio, nobody can see what we're talking about, but Christina is a master party
planner. She really is.
Oh, yeah. Very festive over here.
Studio is nicely decorated.
That's great.
Yeah.
But now let's get to business.
Sure. If we have to.
Yeah. Actually, the one thing that you're going to start with, and then we're going to, there's no set rule here. We're going to go all over whatever questions. But originally, you have living trust.
Yeah.
Just explain that.
Sure.
The concept for people.
You know, it's very interesting. People come to my office and they say, Ron, you did a living trust for my friend. I want a trust, and I want it now. You know, it worked. It was great. It was so easy. I was just speaking to a gentleman in the next room who also did planning. It was so easy with my mother. Let me have your card. It's a wonderful thing, but people don't know what it is.
Right.
So let me start from the beginning. A trust is an agreement that actually sets forth an entity. It's an agreement that creates this entity that holds assets. It could be a home. It could be a bank account. It could be a life insurance policy. It could be almost any asset. So it's an agreement that sets forth an entity. It holds assets. And the assets are managed pursuant to the way the individual who creates that trust wants those assets to be managed. And there's certain reasons to set up a trust. We could protect assets for Medicaid, for long-term care, creditors, special needs children, spendthrift children, a child who spends too much money. See that a lot on the North Shore.
Right.
You know, seriously, in the town of North Hempstead, for sure. There's so many reasons. You want to give assets to grandchildren? Should you give them outright? Should they get them at age 18 so they could buy this Corvette or whatever car is in lately? So you want to set up a trust. Make sure that money is there, let's say, for the grandchildren for education. So we have this entity, and the rules are set forth in this agreement. And just to step back for a minute, so we have a living trust, we have testamentary trust. So let's take it, stepping back and take it from the very top. There are two basic types of trusts. One is a living trust, and that's a trust that's signed while you're living, and it's effective right now. When you sign it, it's good. A living trust. Good. There's also a testamentary trust.
And living trust can protect assets from Medicaid?
Absolutely, okay. If it's done right.
Okay.
And if you specifically draft it for that purpose.
Right.
All trusts are different. But so we have a living trust, you sign it while you're living, it's effective right now while you're living. There's a testamentary trust, and that's a trust in a will.
Right.
And that becomes effective after death, once the will is probated.
Right.
So we have the living trust, the testamentary trust, and then as far as the living trusts, there are two basic types. One is revocable, mm-hmm. and one is irrevocable. A revocable trust can be revoked, amended, changed. It's just like it's your own money in the bank,
right.
You know, or wherever it's held. But the assets are held in this living trust, lots of advantages, but that's a revocable trust. An irrevocable trust is stated to be irrevocable. You can actually revoke an irrevocable trust,
but it's an issue.
But it's a little more difficult right. to do. You need the consent of the trustee and the beneficiaries.
Right.
And I just need to explain who the parties are to a trust.
Right, but before you go there,
sure.
You said beneficiaries. If you have an irrevocable trust
mm-hmm.
and you have six beneficiaries
mm-hmm.
and it's my trust, I don't want to revoke it, so I'm leaving it as is because I don't want the clock to go back. But can I take one of the beneficiaries off?
If we put in a provision in that trust, you can, and that's called a power of appointment. So, yes,
okay.
Even if you have an irrevocable,
right, I want the irrevocable.
Medicaid trust, and it's you say irrevocable, it's locked in stone. Yes, we in all of our Medicaid trusts, we put in powers of appointment that let you change the beneficiary, and that's very useful.
100%.
Let's say there's a child that all of a sudden you become estranged from.
Right.
You don't want to provide for. Or there's a child that becomes a special needs child unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to change that beneficiary to a special needs trust.
Right.
So we definitely put that in all the time.
Okay. Does a revocable trust protect assets as far as Medicaid is concerned?
A revocable trust does not.
Okay.
Because Medicaid looks at that trust and says, you know, it's just like those assets are in your name.
Right.
It's revocable. You could amend it. You have access to it. For Medicaid purposes, it's your money.
Right. Okay.
Why then would somebody want a revocable?
Very good question. And for many, many reasons. Even for Medicaid, assets held in a revocable trust in some circumstances could avoid Medicaid recovery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, such as a home sometimes. So that's one reason. But let's say you have assets in a revocable trust and you don't have close family, you have no children, and you want to leave your money, let's say, to a charity.
Okay.
But you have distant relatives who could contest the will. Well, you don't have to go through the probate process with any of the assets in that trust.
Okay.
Much harder to contest because when you have assets in your name and you die and they're going to be probated through a will, family members can come forward and contest. And in fact, not only can they do get notices to say, oh, so-and-so individual
right,
passed away. And so-and-so day, if you want to contest, you come to the surrogates court of Nassau County or whatever county that is, and you can contest this will.
Now, irrevocable sounds like you better be very, very confident in what you set up because life has a way of changing as you march along.
Life does have a way of changing.
Yeah,
that,
and things come
true.
Along and all of a sudden you set yourself up in an irrevocable situation.
Yeah.
That you don't like.
Right. Well, John brought up a point that you can change the beneficiaries, but maybe you want to change even more, or maybe you want to even revoke that irrevocable trust. The way we draft our irrevocable trusts, You can revoke them, but you need the consent of the trustee. So you probably do want to have a friendly trustee.
Now, as a trustee in a revocable a living will, similar to what an executor would be of a will?
Okay. So the executor of a will manages the assets, you know, of the estate until the assets are distributed. You know, the surrogate's court probates it, and we go through the process. The trustee of a revocable or irrevocable trust manages the assets of that trust in accordance with the rules of the trust and distributes the assets just the way the trust provides. So let's say the trust provides that income, it's a Medicaid trust,
right.
Income goes to mom and dad or you and I. So I get all of the income from my lifetime. When I die, let's say I want $20,000 to go to the Alzheimer's Association. I want $10,000 to go to a relative, and I want to divide the rest of the assets between my two children. That's what the trustee has to do just that way. You could change it with the power of appointment,
right.
But the trustee has to manage the assets prudently and then distribute the income during lifetime to me because that's the way I set it up. And when I pass away, just the way it provide. You know, it's provided for in the trust.
But doesn't an executor do the same? Like, you know, you have a pot with assets in it, mm-hmm. and my job as an executor is to distribute them per the will.
Exactly. But it's per the will,
right.
Not the trust. So the will comes into effect after death. When we sign this, let's say it's an irrevocable Medicaid trust, the assets go in the trust right now. It starts the five-year clock. There's no waiting period for home care, which I've mentioned many times in the past, which is good. And then the assets are managed. I could get all of the income from my lifetime. If the home is in the trust, I get to live there. The trustee could sell the home if I want to downsize, buy something else. I get all the tax advantages. But when I die, that trustee is a fiduciary. The trustee, he, she, or they have to distribute according to the terms.
We got to take a break, but we got to come back to this. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.